The question was asked, is there anything inappropriate about singing, enjoying music which is sung in the church? So we find this addressed actually in the laws of appointing a chazan. It says in Nalacha, around Siman Nun Hei in the Shulchan Aruch, that when you want to appoint a chazan, one of the things that would disqualify a chazan is if he likes to sing songs that the pagans sing, or that that's a disqualifying factor. So you see that that's something which is we view as being wrong. Now it says you're not supposed to enjoy even the smell, even the shade of a church. Meaning you shouldn't even walk in the shade of a church. I used to go every day to the Kotel. I used to learn right next to the Kotel by Rabbi Neventzel's Kotel. And when you walk down that street from Jaffa Gate, so you walk by the Armenian church. And there are days where it's very pleasant to be in the shade of the church. And you're not supposed to enjoy the shade of the church. Not supposed to. That means crossing to the other side of the street and sitting in the sun. No, you're not supposed to admire it. The pasuk says, Lot techanem. So the word Lot techanem has multiple meanings, the Gemara and Tractate of Avodah Zarah tells us. Lot techanem could mean, don't give them chen, don't marvel and say, what a beautiful church, what a beautiful dome on the rock. It's gold, I understand it's gold, but you're not supposed to marvel at the things that are in the name of worshipping other things other than Hashem. So one of the interpretations that are quoted, and they're quoted in Halacha, in Lot Techanem, is you're not supposed to say, what a beautiful idol, what a gorgeous cross. You're not supposed to say that. I'm saying, now what about the music? So it says, you're not supposed to enjoy the music and the smells. It says, even if you're walking in the street and they're burning incense in front of their idols, so you're smelly. What can you do? Yeah, you have a choice whether to enjoy it or not enjoy it. You're not supposed to enjoy it. Even though we have a concept, Ein Me'ilah, it's not considered that you stole from some, even from the temple. If you enjoyed the light or the sound or the smell, you can't say you stole something from the temple. And nonetheless, when it comes to idols, so the Torah says, Lo yidbak biyadcha me'uma. You shouldn't have anything, even the smallest thing that's connected to you. It says, Tizrem kemo dava, tzei tomar lo. Tizrem, scatter it kemo dava. Just like if you had a disease that you'd want it far away from you, so too, that's the approach we take to paganism. So Chazal, the Torah, it starts in the Torah. It's not only rabbinic, it's also biblical. The Torah wanted us to have a certain attitude to idols. And that's why the Torah also renames idols. There are idols that the Torah doesn't call by name, but the Torah gives them a derogatory name. When we speak about Yeshu, so or Christianity, sometimes it's called Davar Acher, something else. We don't even talk about what it is. We don't give it the credence of giving it its name. So there's an attitude the Torah wanted us to have when we speak about these things. And you see that it even went so far as the songs. Now, that's the general approach, that when we look at the songs that are sung in pagan settings, so we don't admire them. We don't try to bring them in. That's the general approach. But in the name of intellectual honesty, I have to share with you a little bit more. There are sources, and you could see, if I'm not mistaken, Chacham Ovadia quotes it, there are sources that discuss the idea that the church took certain songs from the Levites, that there are songs that they incorporated into their into whatever they do, that they really learned when the temple was destroyed, so certain tunes and songs were taken from us. It's not that every tune that they have is really theirs. And there is a discussion when we say that pagan songs disqualify. Is it the tune or the words? So that is also discussed in Halacha. Meaning, would we go so far as to say the tune is inappropriate? Because some would say that the tune isn't the problem. The problem is the words. So those are points that are discussed. And it's even discussed whether over history we did or did not adopt their songs. I'm not talking about Mordechai ben David, who took rock songs and adapted them to Jewish words. Mashiach, Mashiach, Mashiach is a rock song. There's a rock song with the same tune. Ah, da, 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 da. There's a Misha Nechnas Adar tune. That's a song they used to sing as they were picking the cotton fields. It's not a Jewish song. They took a non-Jewish tune that was sang on the plantations as they were harvesting the cotton. Pick a bowl of sugar, da, 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 pick a bowl of hay, oh, pick a bowl. I'm saying it's not a Jewish song, and they just gave Jewish words. I'm not talking about that, because that's not pagan songs. There's no problem with songs that are not Jewish. That the Rambam writes in his commentary on Pirkei Avos. We don't gauge a song based on whether a Jew wrote it or not. We gauge a song based on its content. People think, says Rambam, that a song is holy because it's in Hebrew. And they think it's not holy because it's in a foreign language. And the Rambam says that's irrelevant, the language. What's relevant is the content. If the song speaks about positive things that we admire, if the song speaks about things that you should admire, then it's a good song. And it doesn't matter who wrote it or what language it's in. But if the song speaks about infatuation and lust, so then it's a negative song. And it doesn't matter that it's in Hebrew or a Jew wrote it. It's still a negative song, says the Rambam. So that, says the Rambam, is how we gauge a song. And again, the question that's discussed in Halacha is, what would we say about tunes? Meaning, and remember that our conversation is revolving around pagan tunes, pagan songs. We're not talking about non-Jewish songs. Meaning, if you're going to take songs from Phantom of the Opera, or songs from Les Miserables, who cares? I'm saying that's just a tune. If you're going to take Beethoven...
But Les Miserables also sings about the church.
Where?
What have I done, sweet Jesus? What have I done? Become a thief and I've become a dog on the run. Have I fallen so far and is the hour so late that nothing remains?
He mentions it, okay. That's not focused on the church. I'm saying... For if he falls as Lucifer fell is a passing reference.
Okay.
That's not the focus of the song. I don't think you'd call that a pagan song. I don't think that's the same. I don't think so. Look, I don't have a source that proves it, but that's my understanding. That a reference is not, I'm saying I'm saying again, a reference is a reference. That's not the focus of the song. Now, when we speak about pagan songs, we're talking about songs that are being sung in a church. We're talking about songs that are being sung as part of a church, whatever they do in church. That's what we're talking about when we say pagan songs. But to say, you know, a guy's going to sing Garth Brooks, no. I don't know what we'd say about Simon and Garfunkel's Mrs. Robinson. Because there the focus is Jesus loves you. I'm saying that's different. And it blew me away that friends of mine when I was in high school used to play it and they'd say they're Jewish. What do you care if they're Jewish, Simon and Garfunkel? They're singing about Jesus. I'm sorry. I'm saying that's different. That's not the same as the songs you quoted from Les Miserables. Because the focus there is a connection to I'm saying it's not the same as a reference. Yes, Gilad.
What do you say about Phantom of the Opera?
Yeah.
I mean, as in, like, what is the song?
I can't hear you.
What is the song of Phantom?
And therefore?
If you have a child who sings something,
you gotta speak up.
If you have, is it individual? If there is a song about, I don't know, surviving in the hood or something like that.
Surviving in?
I don't know, some random thing.
It's
the one person okay. And the other. So if one person, it makes us think about, oh, you know, I'm trying to do a deal of surviving in the hood or something like that.
Doesn't matter. It's not a religious song. What difference does it make? If it's not religious, then you just look at the content. What we discussed was songs that are used in religious ceremonies. If it's not a religious song, if it's not about anything about religion, so then the question is just the content. Is the content positive or negative?
Okay. Well,
yes, sir.
So there's nothing wrong
So what's wrong with music that just says positive content into it, even though it's not religious?
That's what the Rambam says. The rabbis here might not like it, but in the Rambam, that's what it says.
What do you think?
Let me put it to you this way. I'm not encouraging my kids, even though I grew up on country music, and I really liked it, and I can tell you a lot of beautiful, wonderful, meaningful songs, and not only country music, 70s, 80s, 90s, Neil Diamond, I can tell you a lot of...
He's a Garth Brooks fan.
Garth Brooks, right? but you also have to ask yourself a different question. That culturally, and at the end of the day, A, you align yourself, if you're going to have Garth Brooks playing out of your window, I don't know where that'll align you, you know, what your neighbors will feel like, and the music moves us at the end of the day. And we make a choice, what will move us in life. So you'll ask me, technically, is it kosher? Ein baya. You want to listen to Neil Diamond's We've Been Traveling Far? And it's a beautiful song. There are a lot of beautiful songs. You can't say there's a halachic problem with them. So then comes a social question and an emotional question. You know, when I was a kid, one of the songs that inspired me, believe it or not, was Garth Brooks' song Point of Light. He has a song about how every person can be and should be a point of light. Now, honestly, I don't know if the term point of light is a Christian term. I didn't know that at the time. I don't know. The concept was an inspiration when I was a kid. I'm saying
Still is.
Yeah, I just don't know if it has religious connotations or not. I don't know.
But it's not.
Maybe.
Was he known of your...
I have no idea. I didn't know who he was. I have no idea. You're talking about a kid listening to the radio. I'm saying, this is back in the day. You listen to the radio. Yes.
Would it be okay for one to aspire to be a musician, even though he's not Christian?
It's great. Why not?
I want to be a musician. I don't want to be a musician. I want to be a musician, but I don't. I want to sing positive music, not necessarily religious.
That's great. So. Why not? It's a wonderful parnasa. You can inspire people, make people happy. It's excellent. I would just tell you that of all our students who aspire to be musicians, other than the violinists, those who were original, you know, who wrote their own music, I don't remember anyone that succeeded. And they all thought they would. I'm saying we had a lot of... I'm saying... The violinists, we have violinists. We have alumni who are violinists at the Jerusalem Philharmonic, the National Philharmonic, that we do have. I'm saying we do have alumni from our department who are top violinists in the country. But those who compose their own music, again, they're still composing their own music. But I don't know why you guys are laughing. I mean, it's very nice. I guess there are millions of people who are trying to be musicians. I'm saying it's not so simple to succeed. That's just a practical piece of advice. Even though I like the music that some of our students have written.
Only 1% of the people who try to be musicians ever make it, and at least two.
Okay, so I'm just saying. So I practical advice. I'm not sure I would go that route.
No, somebody just curious.
Okay.
Can you just remind me which halacha it is where it says that chazan is canceled?
It's actually in two places. It's in Siman, I think, Nun Hei, either Nun Dalet or Nun Hei in Or HaChaim, and it's also in the halachas of Yomim Noraim in the beginning of Hilchos Rosh Hashanah.
Too fast.
Okay.
Nun Hei.
So Nun right of Or HaChaim. It's and it's discussed again in passing in the laws of the fasts, which is actually the source, meaning the source for the halacha in Siman and Dalid Nun Hei is a Gemara in Tractate Tanis that discusses how you choose who should lead the congregation on a fast day. But where it's elaborated on again is in the beginning of the laws of Rosh Hashanah, where it discusses how you appoint the chazan for Rosh Hashanah. So there again, you have an elaboration of what would disqualify someone from being a chazan. So it's in 2.5 places in Shulchan Aruch. The main place where it is in Shas is actually not so elaborated on in Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch already elaborated on it in the very beginning. Around Nun Hei, when the Shulchan Aruch discusses appointing a chazan for Shachris, so he already goes through these halachos. That's why he didn't need to elaborate so much in the other places.
Thank you.
And there, if you look at Yalkut Yosef, if you look at Rav Yitzchak Yosef's book on halacha, so there he'll quote you the different opinions on non-Jewish music and pagan music, and there are those who want to claim that our tune for Moe's Tzur was taken from the church. Whether it's true or not, I have no idea, but they claim that that was a tune, again. And that goes back to the question, do you take tunes from them or not?
We have some
look, he brings the opinions there.
Yalkut Yosef.
Yalkut Yosef, yeah. Yeah, if you want after class, I think we have a set over there. We'll look for it.
Thank you. Okay. Sorry for that.